You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
I was remembering during that the first time that I did this exercise, and like just being totally drawn into the kind of magical sounds of all the crazy overtones. And I feel like I want to try to recreate that experience of hearing it for the first time and not being so task-oriented, because I think this time I felt very intent on following the banjo. Not that I was at all successful, because I don't know, every time it's like I don't quite comprehend how the texture can be so complex. Like I don't know, I feel like every time I do something, I hear it right afterwards in the recording. It's like I don't know. It's like some kind of fractals. I don't know. Every time I sing a note, that note appears again afterwards. Then I think, was that wrong? Or is it just happening again? Or is it like time has now stopped? I don't know. So I'm going to do one more take. And this time I'm going to focus on listening to the whole texture and not trying to kind of hold on to the banjo for dear life. And I'm going to allow myself to not sing, maybe, all the time. Okay.
Why is that all the time at the end?
Why is that all the time so soft?
It sounds I thought that was strange.
I love this framework.
Like somewhere in the middle, I was sort of realizing as I came with what I was holding back when I discomfort
at accessing the full,
I guess,
following the breath, pattern of what it's happening again. Material that it makes it easier to
as a result I find that I get very interested in trying to follow the semantics and try to really
I could perhaps
commit
to remember and to taking the space that I was going to say.
I'm feeling kind of weird about
better if I was
following out into the train of thought rather than just trying to follow my breath.
So I'll try one more like that.
We're finished here.
Bye, everybody.
I don't know.
just let him.
you can't see. Let's do it for real.
I'm done.
Hey, this is Thurston. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby. Yeah, keep listening.
Hello, my name is Chris Spangenberg, and you are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, Burnaby Mountain. This is the second interview out of an 8-part episodic series on traditional Chinese medicine, also known as TCM, and the traditional Chinese medicine community here in Vancouver. In the course of these interviews, I examine the local culture and practice of traditional Chinese medicine, as well as inquire into its philosophy and difference from Western medicinal practices. This series is produced for CJSF 90.1 FM's Making Time for Radio project. In this interview, I'm talking with Darcy Carroll, an acupuncturist and clinic owner of Polk Community Acupuncture Clinic on Broadway. She's the local pioneer of the community acupuncture model, initially developed by the Working Class Acupuncture Organization in Portland, Oregon. We first talk about her personal background and how she ended up working with Chinese medicine. Afterwards, we get into her practice and her approach to healing, before we delve into the subject of community acupuncture, her involvement and its philosophy, as well as its difference from regular acupuncture. We end the interview looking at the changes that have taken place in Vancouver over the last 20 years regarding TCM, and we also look at the future of traditional Chinese medicine here in Vancouver. Please note that neither I nor Darcy is bashing Western medicine. In certain instances, we discuss the differences between Chinese medicine and Western medicine, but the illustration is meant to be functional, not ideological. My name is Chris Spangenberg, and you're listening to an interview between me and Darcy Carroll here on CGSF 90.1 FM.
So Darcy, tell me a little about yourself and your history.
Well, I'm a Chinese medicine practitioner, and I'm also a mother and a clinic owner. I run Pope Community Acupuncture on Broadway in Vancouver.
How long have you been practicing as an acupuncturist?
I think I was licensed in 2005, and I did a few locums after graduation and worked as a private practitioner for a couple of years, and then I opened up Poke in 2009.
How did you become an acupuncturist?
I guess what led me to it, I was working in Central America. I'd done a degree in Caribbean Studies and Latin American Studies, and I was working in San Salvador, and I found it to be just a little bit overwhelming, disillusioning. I thought I was going to be working in sort of the more environmental, social justice, development, international development work, and it just wasn't quite meeting my expectations, I guess. So I came home from that, was a little bit burnt out, and knew I still wanted to help people, but I just didn't know in what capacity. And so I talked to a few of my friends and found out that one of them was doing traditional Chinese medicine, and so I did a little bit of reading up on it, and I just thought it would be a good fit for me. You know, it reflected a lot of my beliefs and interests.
What benefits do you feel Chinese medicine holds?
Ooh, this one could take me a long time to answer.
That's okay.
I think many benefits, really. It's a homeostatic way of treating people. It really creates balance in the body. It's even though it sounds invasive with needles, I find it to be quite a gentle approach, or it can be quite a gentle approach, but really have a deep effect. So I just see a lot of issues resolve themselves with acupuncture.
How did you end up working with traditional Chinese medicine? What got you first interested in the field?
Well, I think, like I said before, I had a friend who was studying it. So I started reading up on it and just learning a little bit about what acupuncture is about. And yeah, it reflected a lot of my interests. So it was a huge leap of faith for me. It wasn't like I had a whole bunch of experience. In fact, I'd never had an acupuncture treatment before going to school. So yeah, quite the leap of faith. But here I am today, you know, many years later, still in the field.
When did you do your study?
Where? Sorry, did I do it or
yeah,
when?
Well, both where and when.
I did it in Victoria. At the time, it was the Canadian College of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. So it was the first school in Canada, but it has since closed. And I started in 2000, 2001 maybe, and completed in 2005, I think it was, 2004 or 2005.
What is your approach to healing?
I really like to look at the whole body and listen to a patient's complaints and see how those symptoms manifest in their body. And I like to take into consideration the mind and the body. And in Western medicine, there's a real separation, you know, sort of Western rationalist thinking of breaking everything down to its finest component. But Chinese medicine works in a different you know, there's a paradox of nothing is absolute, and there isn't really a break between mind and body. So I like to look at all of these things when I'm seeing a patient.
How do you see each patient in terms of their condition, given what you've just said?
Well, I think everybody can manifest in a slightly different way. So, for instance, I can have four people in one day walk in with headaches, and they can all manifest in a different way, even though, you know, they might say I have a headache. It can look different for each person. So I just have to see how it does manifest for each of my patients and then sort of treat accordingly.
What is your personal philosophy behind your use of acupuncture?
Well, I like to diagnose on a meridian basis. So instead of looking at a Zongfu diagnosis, which is what we may have learned in school and I feel really applies to the herbal component of Chinese medicine, I look at the body and I ask where a patient's symptoms manifest. So where on the body can I find these symptoms? And then I treat it according to a meridian diagnosis. So I find out which meridian these symptoms fall on. And we have, you know, 12 meridians, for example, that run through our body that are attached to certain organ systems. And on each of those meridians, there's a number of points with different functions. And then we also have a number of other points on the body that aren't set like that, that are more personalized for each patient. So yeah, personally, I like to find out what meridian is affected, and then I choose a method of treatment that I've learned since being out of school, actually. I've studied with a doctor, Dr. Tan, an amazing master who unfortunately recently passed away, but I really adhere to his philosophies and his teachings.
In your opinion, what are the main differences between Chinese medicine and Western medicine?
Well, I know I touched briefly on that in the philosophy, or sort of when you're talking about sort of Western rationalism versus Chinese medicine and what sort of philosophies it was born from. But in a Western rationalist world, I think we break everything down to its finest components. We really try and understand it, put it in a box, you know. It's very logical and rational. Chinese medicine tends to look at things and looks at the body as a whole and sees these paradoxes, but can still treat them. You know, Chinese medicine is based on nature in many ways. So in nature, heat rises. In nature, cold constricts. Wind makes things tremble and gets gnarled. And that's the same thing that happens in the body. So heat rises in the body, cold constricts. Wind gives us tremors. So Chinese medicine is really based on nature.
Your clinic is special in Vancouver for doing community acupuncture. Could you explain what community acupuncture means to you and where you first got the idea?
Yeah, so community acupuncture, I first found out about it actually in when I was in Victoria. One of my old classmates, or I guess he was a year behind me, he had started up a clinic called HEMA, and he had found out about this community acupuncture from Oregon. They're called working class acupuncture. So working class acupuncture is based out of Portland, Oregon, an amazing clinic that pioneered this whole movement. And Lisa Rodler and Skip Van Meter were the two people behind it. And it's really all about making acupuncture accessible financially for people and creating choice for people so that they actually can have the choice to use acupuncture. Because generally speaking, acupuncture is based, you know, it's a one-on-one treatment with high costs, and I believe that people need to have it frequently in order to get better. So I wanted to create a model that allows for this, and so we have a sliding scale.